Good to see each one out. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As well as 1 Peter chapter 4. We was preaching this morning about keeping the old past, the old landmarks, and so sad that we see this country leaving the most important landmark that this country had been blessed with, and that's the Word of God. The ability to preach the Word of God and the ability to assemble ourselves together in freedom. And I want to share with you about this idea of persecution. Will we see persecution before we leave? What kind of persecution will we have? Where will it come from? Let's look in the Bible just a moment. Notice if you would in 1 Peter chapter 4, begin there. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters.
Yet if any man suffer as a Christian,
let him not be ashamed, but let him
glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Now, let me share with you while we're there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at a couple verses there, and we'll pick these up here in just a second. In 1 Peter chapter 2, a lot of people have asked me, they say, "Well, what should we do if the governor declares that we are not to meet in the church? What should we do? What if we lived in California right now? And up until just the last recently, they've forbidden during this whole process of time for churches to gather together." Some people says, "Well, these verses are what applies to us." In 1 Peter chapter number 2, looking forward in verse 13. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The Bible teaches that we'll always be persecuted. There will always be forms of persecution going on. But especially in the last days. Paul tells us in chapter 3, verse 1, that "this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And the reason why, we've talked about it, the reason why they are so perilous is because of the sinfulness that we are involved in, and because of the amount of sin that's going on. Now, look, if you would, just a moment. In this chapter, and notice that he gives a whole list of things that we're going to see in the last days, cause perilous times. And it's the fact that people will have no rule over their spirits, have evil spirits, and they'll be lovers of their own self and just thinking about themselves. And truly, we can see that happening. They'll be ever learning and ever coming knowledge of God. They'll be having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. But then we look on down in verse number 10, and he tells us this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconia and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. I preached a message one time, there's no painless way of serving God. And notice in verse 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceiving, being deceived. But he says, but continue. Now, as you know, and as I've expressed many times, I love America. I love America even more after I've traveled in other countries. I love the fact that in America we have the freedom to worship without interference, without reprisal from God, from the other people. And our country, when you go back to the history of our country, it was founded by people fleeing religious persecution. Much of what they wrote and the way they construed the Constitution and the form of government was to keep from having the government to come in on the church and the freedoms and liberties of each individual person. And we all created equal. We all are to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we're to have that liberty here in this country. Now, the last 10 months, I don't have to tell you, I've seen something that in 60, going on 63 years next month, I've never experienced. I've never lived in a time where the government has tried to shut the churches down. This is the first time in my lifetime I've ever seen that happen. We got a little taste of it when this COVID-19 come along, and we were told to close our doors to public worship. Be honest with you, at the time, didn't know what to do because we didn't understand what was happening in the nation. We didn't understand a lot about the virus. And so people who refused to do that was being threatened. Some was even being fined. And of course, they were coming around taking license plates and then ordering people to be quarantined for 14 days if they were caught meeting in church. Had little snitch lines, what they call snitch lines, set up, where people would snitch on their neighbors if they were out or if someone was over their house or something along those lines. That's not the country I've learned to love. I do believe that you got to be wise, and I believe that you got to be understanding, and people's got to make decisions for themselves. But the government, for the most part, they ruled in most of the country that the church was non-essential, that assembling ourselves together was not important. But yet we find Walmart, Kroger, we found all kinds of fast foods, we found hardware stores, liquor stores, abortion clinics. They ruled all essential, and many other things essential. But yet the church was non-essential. And so what we did was we had many people trying to struggle what to do. And I waited out for a little while, and then I decided that There are some things that the government should not interfere in. There may be times when we as a church decide it's not in our best interest to meet. But it should not be the government telling us not to meet. People says, well, God's people are to obey all ordinances. Well, turn if you would in Acts chapter number 5. When they contradict God's ordinances, then you don't have to, you're not responsible to obey them. In Acts chapter 5, look with me, if you will, in verse number 41. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now if you read the whole chapter, they took them in there and they beat them and said, you can't teach in the name of Jesus no more. Well, after they got through being beat and suffering, they went out and they continued teaching and preaching. This is the apostles. Look on back, if you would, in chapter 5 and verse 29. You'll see why. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey what? God rather than men. There comes a time when God is to be obeyed rather than men. When men has no right to write ordinances to override and contradict the ordinances that God's word has ordained for us to do. Now, when you look, the scriptures are clear. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we are not to forsake the assembling ourselves together. Now, the Bible even tells us in that verse, even so much more as we see the day approaching. And my, we are seeing the day approaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 reminds us that we are to bring as God has prospered us on the first day of the week, we are to come in the house of God and bring as he's prospered us every man. And so here we have a commandment from God that we are to meet together. Someone said, well, we can do virtual, and I understand there are some people that are very vulnerable that doesn't want to take that risk. But you know, since it's Valentine's Day, I'll liken it into this. Doing virtual versus coming and assembling yourselves together is like when you was in love, dating, heads over heels, about some girl. The difference between, I read this somewhere, I can't remember where it was, but it's like talking on the phone versus going and sitting down and talking to her in person. But you know, the church is made for the fellowship that we have one with another. It's made that we come and we worship as a body. And we miss that. And so therefore, God's ordinances are for us to not forsake the assembling ourselves together. Second of all, in America, we also have the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It was not by mistake or some sleight of hand that they just threw that in there. They threw that in there because they did not want government to ever interfere with the fact of us assembling ourselves together in a religious setting, or as we would talk, say, as a scriptural setting. Even though every church must decide what they're going to do, I just want you to understand that it gets very dangerous when the government begins to want to do these things to the churches. I've already heard a lot of liberal talk that they love to start taxing the churches. And they think that that will hinder some of the tithes and offerings. If the only reason why you're giving your tithes and offerings is for a tax break, you're giving for the wrong reasons. Third thing is, all we've heard from the liberal left in this country is separation from church and state. Even though Thomas Jefferson explained exactly what he meant by that, and it was not what they claim it to be. But every time someone's erected a cross, sung a Christmas carol, said Merry Christmas, any of those things, people's been persecuted. And they've cried separation of church and state, separation of church and state. Well, they need to separate from church and state. And they need to abide by their own decisions, because it should be up to the church to make those decisions. There are times when people of God decides that what they're doing is more valuable than some of the secular people will make that determination. If I'd been governor during that time, this time, there's no way I would have ruled a church is non-essential. I would have ruled it's most essential. But when you look at this and look down the line, we could go to many people, but we'll go to a couple. Isn't it good that Moses' parents didn't listen to the government? And they went ahead and had Moses and put him in the bulrushes? Isn't it good that Daniel, even though he was forbidden to pray, he opened his windows and three times a day he continued to pray after he was instructed by Nebuchadnezzar not to pray? The three Hebrew children, even though when they were instructed that when the music plays that everyone has to bow down and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, that's just a foretaste and a shadow of what the Antichrist is going to do. And yet they refused to do it, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. You look at prophets. You look at apostles. As a matter of fact, look if you would in Revelation chapter 1. John. Brother Junior, I believe his brother Junior brought this out this morning, that John was the only one that was not martyred. But look if you would in chapter 1 of Revelation. Look if you would in verse number 9. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What John is saying here, he's saying, you know the reason why I'm locked out over this island? Because I disobeyed the government. They did not want me to preach. They did not want me to do the things I need to do. You can go back and you study several people. The one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. I went blank on his name. Somebody help me. John Bunyan. Who? John Bunyan. And the reason why he was in jail, he refused to allow the state to license him to preach. You know, some time back, we went through the same thing here. We had the government, they wanted to make, and as a matter of fact, I worked in the government that time, and they paid my salary in the government with the occupational ordinance that they passed. But what they did was they could not call it a tax, because only the state and federal government had the right to enact a tax. And so what they had to do was they had to call it a license fee. They called it legal fiction. In other words, we're calling it something that it's not. And most of you remember, at that time, because I didn't take a salary from this church, I only took a housing allowance, they came down upon the preachers that withstood that occupational license fee. And we went and we stood before them, and we went all the way up to the state, and even went to the federal government and made our case. And basically what we told them was that words matter. When in 90 times, over 90 times, in the ordinance, they had the word license. The word license means that they have the right to give you permission to do something, but they have the right also to take that permission away from you and that right away from you. You can have a driver's license, but just because you have a driver's license don't mean that you always have it. They can take it away from you. They gave it to you. They can take it away from you. And we told them, we said, we have no problem with paying taxes, but we do have a problem when you try to license the pastors of the church. And those of you who were around there in that time know what they put Brother Broughton through. They tried to destroy that man. They went after him everywhere they could. They made all kinds of allegations about him. And so, my point being is, sometimes we think, well, persecution is far away from our churches. They're already talking that there's many other strands. The president the other day suggested that we might be wearing masks another year, year and a half, maybe. His health czar mentioned that we might be wearing two of them at a time now. And then we have the situation that what are they going to do as time goes on? I look at some of those churches and what they've gone through, the cost that it's cost them, and they had to take it to Supreme Court. I do appreciate that the Supreme Court gave them permission or granted that it was unconstitutional to forbid them to assemble, but they only allowed them to have 25% occupancy, and I'm not sure that they have that right to do that either. But anyway, why are God's people persecuted? By the way, we suffer a whole lot less than what a lot of others are, but you don't know when it might come. Why are we persecuted? Look in your Bibles a minute real quickly to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Notice if you would, in verse number 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world what? So number one, we get persecuted because the church and those who are truly saved are in the minority. The world is in the majority. And whether you think so or not, the world hates the Lord. They hate Jesus. And anyone who stands on his behalf, they'll hate you too. So many, I've watched so many of these televangelists. Some has been persuaded to preach now there's no hell. Some has been persuaded to preach there's many other ways of salvation. But yet, there's only one way. Look if you would in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 22, the Bible says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Because we are the children of God, because we live a different life, because we have different standards, will be hated. Not only that, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, "Yea, all who shall live godly shall suffer persecution." Who's going to persecute us? Well, again, you go back to Acts number 5, we don't have to go back there, but the government was persecuting them there. And there's going to be times when the government will persecute us. And I'll be honest with you, a lost liberal government knows no end to persecution. Right now, this liberal group tries to destroy everybody that gets in their way. The whole idea about all this with President Trump, is not that he did something wrong, but what he did was he messed up their playground. And he come in and he began to point things out that most people knew, they had any common sense, but he began to name names and point fingers, and they hated him for it. And so here what we have is, we have sometimes, we will face the government. We hope we don't. We always want to live peaceable when we can. But I do not think the government needs to be telling churches when to open, when to close, when not to assemble, when to assemble. The last thing I want to do is cause harm to any of you. If I think it's dangerous for us to assemble, then I'll do my very best not to assemble. Next, look if you would in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, look if you would in verse 32. Not only do we get persecuted from the government, but in verse 32, the Bible says this: "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foe shall be they of his own" what? Not only will the government persecute you for trying to live for Christ, your own household will do it. It doesn't mean, children, that you're not to be, that you're not to obey and have respect and love for your parents. But what the Bible teaches is this: we put no one before God. God comes first. And Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he has eminence. Eminence, he has first place. He has the top. And therefore, that's why even in Corinthians, when they were having issues with non-believers wanting to depart from their spouses when they got saved, Paul said, let them depart. If they can't live with you for being a Christian, let them depart. What he was trying to get across was this: there will be times when even our own households will persecute us for the name of Christ and what we do in Christ. But we've got to expect that. Not only that, but also look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 41. We could go to several verses on this, but we won't go to many. But Psalms chapter 41. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. "Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Look, if you would, in chapter 55. In chapter 55 of Psalms. Look, if you would, in verse 12. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have bore it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Many times it'll be your own friends, your old friends, that will betray you. There'll be your own friend that will persecute you when you try to stand for what's right. And you know what? The devil does his best to get us, the churches, to eat each other up. And Christians to eat each other up, be at odds with one another. Not only that, but also, look if you would, in Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Not only do we have our friends and our family and our government, but in chapter 9, the Bible tells us in verse 1 and 2, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." Lost people. will persecute us. They don't understand us. When they look at us, they don't understand. I've had people say, well, preacher, I know so-and-so, he's lost, but he bleeds just like we do. He can't see the more spiritual things and have spiritual insight. Paul said that they did not have, the natural man could not discern the things of the Spirit. They are hid from him. He can't see those. He don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a teacher to us. It shows us things and gives us understanding that the world does not know. And then as we preach this morning, those that commit abominations, all this liberal left that marches, all this gay right stuff that they come and they march against your church and they march against people, they try to shut down your business. They want to come and attack you because of your beliefs. They will try to persecute you. Somebody said, do you hate them? I don't hate. I'd love to see them get saved. I'd love to see them change their life. Met very few of them that was actually, that I thought had any happiness at all. But they need something bad in their life. How do we react to it? No system, we're going to close. Number one, the Bible teaches us that we've got to learn to bear the cross of Christ in this. When we are persecuted, we need to understand that we are suffering for His cause. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, sometimes it's hard to do when they seem to be coming against you. But in verse number 12, he says, laboring and working with our own hands, being reviled, we blessed, being persecuted, we suffered it. Sometimes there's things you just got to suffer when you're being persecuted. You got to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Not only that, but in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, the Bible tells us that we are to love our enemies. Look there for a moment. You say, preacher, I just don't understand why we would let that take place. But notice what Jesus said. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And so what we need to understand is, and the Bible teaches us, that God, He'll heap coals of fire upon their head. Not only that, but for Christ's sake as well, we need to understand that we need to suffer those things. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 5 while we're there. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. The Bible says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And we need to understand that we won't be the first. But when we persecute, when we're persecuted, we need to understand. Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. The last verse I want to show you is in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Notice if you would in verse number 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. What we need to understand is there will be times that we have to face these things. When we do, we have to use our wisdom. We have to use our understanding. There are times when we have to say, this is God's commandment. This is man's commandment. And man's commandment is interfering with God's commandment for us. There are times when we will say, this is a law given by the governor, and we must submit ourselves as good citizens, do those things when it does not interfere with the commandments that God has given us and the ordinances that he's given us. And so tonight, I just want to share with you, since we talked this morning, about persecutions. And the Bible says that we that are saved, in the last days, we would be persecuted because men's going to wax, evil men's going to wax and get worse and worse. And therefore, we're going to suffer just for the name of Christ and our stand with Christ. Amen. Let's stand and get a song. How about tonight? Maybe God dealt with your heart. You need to come.
409.